Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody. Cody, how are you today?
I am great, man. How are you?
I am also great. It's nice to be able to talk about a 3-0 Pittsburgh Steelers preseason team.
I honestly can't tell you the last time I remember that happening. But then again, I don't pay attention much to the record. I'm more concerned with how good the team's doing. But
I hear you.
I like 3-0. I'll take it.
I'd rather 3-0 than 0-3.
You're not wrong there, Chief.
So, encouraging signs from this preseason game. I liked a lot of what I saw. We got to see the scrimmage. This is the dress rehearsal, they call it, for the regular season. So got to see all the starters that were healthy play in this game. Very encouraging signs. A lot of them looked pretty sharp. Took Ben a couple of series. It looked by the third series, I think, is when they really started going. But I'll tell you who didn't need any warm-up. That's Mr. James Conner.
Mr. James Conner came right out of the gate, did his work, did his job. I love it. I do have one question for you, though. What do you think of the new camera angle they use for this game?
Complete trash.
I agree. It was horrible. It was tough to watch. I just want to see what's going on. If we want to purchase the... All 22. Yeah, then we'll purchase it and watch it that way. But just give us the regular camera angle.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the appeal of that camera angle, but to me, that's something that you're looking for afterwards on a game to see where everybody lined up, what kind of coverage you saw on defense, that sort of thing. But on a daily play, you want to be able to see who's on the field. It's incredibly difficult to see jersey numbers to tell who's out there.
Yeah, I agree. It's really hard to see jersey numbers. You can't tell who's on the field. Then you can't tell, what formation we're in, all that. It takes away from the game, from really understanding what the team's trying to do in certain situations. It was a little annoying, but hopefully they just go back to the regular camera. I didn't mind watching the first sack like that, the safety. I enjoyed that.
I love seeing that stunt between Hayward and Tuitt and how they just kind of bulldoze their opponents, really. Hayward plowed right into it. Tuitt came over and threw the center right to the ground, and there's just nobody to stop him.
I wish we'd play without a nose tackle more often. I feel like those two stunting on the inside or doing anything on the inside with Dupree and Watt on the outside, even if one of them blitz, they can apply pressure just that way. And we have some more speed on the field.
And you're going to see that, I think, more. Each year, it's more and more sub-package where you have just the two defensive interior linemen, which Pittsburgh uses their defensive ends as defensive tackles in that formation, which is great because those are the best pass rushers. No knock on Hargrave. He's excellent, but he's the third best pass rusher from the defensive line. Tuitt and Hargrave, the way they looked in that game, even in game two, you started to see some flashes on it as well. Just some dominance. When you can get that out of those guys, now we're looking at a defense that can get a bunch of pressure from the front four, and that's it. So you can drop everybody. You can start getting those turnovers and interceptions that they've been missing the last couple years.
Yeah, we're also getting just as much pressure with three or four guys as we were with five or six. So not only do we have the more coverage in the down the field, but we're getting to the quarterback. We're still causing pressure, and we're still causing, error in throws that maybe can get picked, knocked down, whatever. If we get a punt, I'm still happy with that compared to a field goal or turnover. Even on one play later on in the game that we got a sack, four guys blitzed. It was Dupree, Watt, Cam, and Tuitt, and we got to the quarterback. So I don't think we need to be sending all these extra guys that often.
Yeah, with the talent that's on the team right now, you're starting to see both Tuitt come into his own, and so far this preseason, Dupree's looking really good too. So you already had an excellent pass rush coming from TJ Watt and Cam Hayward. If we're getting that out of Tuitt and Dupree too, you and I might be shaving our heads come January.
Yikes. Don't remind the listeners about that.
That's right. Early on in this series, I'm going to remind them anyway. Sorry, Cody. We promised you guys that if the Steelers hit 60 sacks this year, we would shave our heads.
I hope it happens. I do. I can't lie.
It's much less of a chore for me than it is for Cody. I'll be honest with you. Much less hair up there. great performance by the starting defense. Tuitt had a sack and a half. Dupree got the other half of that sack. You had Cam Hayward getting a sack. And just really everybody getting involved. Even Vince Williams got involved and got a sack.
Yeah, I'll take anybody getting sacks. I mean, heck, even if it's Mike Hilton again or any other corners or safeties coming on a blitz. So I'll take some defense doing pretty good. What do you have to say about the offense? Starting off with our starters back on the field finally.
Yeah, so I mean the first two drives were kind of flat. James Conner looked great, but the timing on some of the passing wasn't fantastic. Then the third drive came, and then everything was just clicking, brother. And Ben was reading the defense perfect. Finally got him in a situation where the safety went man on an inside guy. Juju runs a slant to right to the end zone, right in the middle. Beautiful throw, easy touchdown. It looked like they could have picked him apart all day after that, but I'm really glad they pulled Ben and didn't put him out there anymore.
I agree. Unfortunately, we didn't get the two-point conversion on that, but you can't get them all.
Yeah, and they already had the safety, so
yeah,
they're just trying to make it a pretty score. I get it.
Listen, I like a pretty score just as much as the next guy, but still. But what did you think of the offensive line?
I didn't think it was a bad showing at all. It was nice to finally see the starting line from left to right. So you had Villanueva, Foster, Pouncey, DeCastro, and Filer at right tackle. Filer's still out there just throwing people around like they're half his size. Awesome to see. The second unit, Banner came in at left tackle. Gray at left guard, which was encouraging to see. It was pretty early in the game, so him getting some earlier reps in the game. Of course, B.J. Finney at center, Fred Johnson on the right guard, and then Okafor over at right tackle. Later on, you started to see the other guys sprinkle in. Banner went over to the right side. Hawkins played some left tackle. Morris came in before Hassenhauer, which is probably a good sign for Morris as far as the depth. When you start looking at who might make the practice squad this upcoming year, it seems like Morris is ahead of Hassenhauer right now.
Yeah, so speaking of depth chart, at the end of this, we're going to talk about our updated 53-man roster.
I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm going to catch some people off guard with a few of my selections.
I'm excited to see what you have, and I'm excited for you to see what I have if you haven't already peeked.
I was totally cheating. I was looking over your shoulder.
Mason Rudolph came in as soon as they put Ben out, which was awesome. We got to see an awesome bomb to his high school teammate again, James Washington. We talk him up on this show a little bit, probably too much, but...
And that was their first drive, too.
Yeah.
So Mason came in, touchdown to Washington. It's just like it's on repeat all preseason long.
Oh, my gosh.
For your viewing
it's
pleasure.
So good. And here's the other thing. People, you know, question is Dobbs getting the start in this fourth game? Big deal. I think we both have our speculations on what's going to happen. We want Dobbs to come out and have a phenomenal game. And Andrew Luck just retired. There's already been speculation that the Colts are interested in Josh Dobbs. So hopefully, you know, we don't want to see Josh Dobbs go, but hopefully we get something for him and that he can go play for the Colts and we can see our boy Devlin Hodges play some more.
That'd be nice. I mean, I would absolutely love to see both Dobbs and Hodges ball out in this fourth game. Only helps both of their value, only helps the Steelers. Get both of them a chance to have a successful future, too. So you get bogged down too far down the bottom of the depth chart, and you just don't get any opportunities. So if both of them play well in this last game, you know, you might be able to get some decent value for Dobbs in a trade, and then Devlin is on the roster just like that. And then you never know. It could be maybe Dobbs struggles. Maybe Hodges balls out just like Dobbs did last year. I mean, everyone thought Landry Jones was the guaranteed number two quarterback last year. Dobbs plays his mind off in that last preseason game, and they cut Landry Jones, and Dobbs is your number two. So you never know how it's going to play out, even though we have a pretty good feel for how the depth chart looks right now based off of how they played people in the first three games, and more so in this last game because that's the closest to a regular season game that we've seen so far. Still, you never know what's going to happen. All it takes is a really good performance. I mean, Rosie Nix a few years back, he blocks a punt in the fourth preseason game and makes the team. So it's far from over. Not going to stop us from doing our predictions before that.
No, absolutely not. And again, this is what's so exciting for us about preseason. We not wanting them to cut preseason is It's how people can literally start their careers in the NFL. Without the preseason, so much talent wouldn't have been found in the NFL.
Absolutely.
And if it was, maybe it was too late for the talent to really spark, or maybe it wasn't in the correct chemistry with the correct team. You never know. Not saying that you couldn't find talent without the preseason, but it's just so fun to watch these guys that really have nothing to lose other than, you know, a career in the NFL. So I just enjoy it so much, and I look forward to it. But what do you feel about
slot wide receivers?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, slot wide receivers, man.
Yeah, so
we got three of them.
Very interesting rotation, I felt like, this game. So you had Switzer start with the starting unit, and then the second drive, Rodgers came in, then Switzer back in on the third, then Rodgers, and they kept rotating them. So I think what we're seeing there is a little bit of an audition. Also, Switzer started in kick return and punt return. Didn't look real explosive. He kept on misjudging balls. The most frustrating thing for me was the punter for Tennessee had an amazing leg, kept on booming huge punts, and it seemed like Switzer just wasn't learning. He kept on having a backpedal big time to go back and get the ball, and now your momentum's going the wrong direction when you field it. It really puts you in a negative situation.
Yeah, I really feel like Switzer and Eli Rogers are fighting for that fifth position, and I think we're going to have somebody else that wasn't on the team last year take that sixth spot from one of those guys. I don't see it ending any other way, because I just don't think the value for Rogers and Switzer on the team at the same time is just there. I just don't think it is. They're both basically the same guy in the sense of what we use them for, and they're not. Neither of them are that much better or worse than the other, except for, like you said, Switzer maybe isn't quite as good as Rodgers as fielding kicks and stuff, losing momentum. But I think one of those guys is going to get the boot this preseason, so we'll have to wait and see.
I won't be surprised, and I think the more difficult part, I've said before that I kind of hope that Eli Rodgers could be traded. I think he might have a little bit higher trade value than Ryan Switzer. I just don't see anyone trading for Ryan Switzer. You know, Pittsburgh already did. The Cowboys scooped him from the Raiders before that. I don't see another team going out there trying to get him, especially since he's not putting anything on tape this preseason. Running backs. The rotation was a little bit different this game. So, obviously, Connor started. He played awesome. He had 5 carries for 41 yards. That's very impressive.
Do that every day, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. And twice on Sundays?
Twice on Sundays.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 times if you want.
Yeah, we'd take that.
If you're feeling generous.
Trey Edmonds actually came in as the second running back in this game, and he kind of rotated with Jalen Samuels, very similar to how they did it with Switzer and Eli Rogers, and then Malik Williams got the cleanup carries at the end of the game. I didn't think any of them looked bad. I thought they all looked decent. Jalen Samuels consistently breaking tackles. When the ball's in his hands, doesn't matter if he catches it, doesn't matter if he's running. He's breaking tackles. The first guy's not taking him down. I love that characteristic. And we saw some good pass protection in this game, too. Connor absolutely buried a blitzing defensive back in this game.
He
it
did.
Was
oh, my
awesome.
Gosh, he did.
He took the guy off his feet and threw him on his back and drove him into the ground. And, man, you couldn't be any happier about pass protection when they're that aggressive with it.
I honestly think that's one of the things that we were lacking last year, just because Connor wasn't confident with it. And let me tell you, his confidence is through the roof right now with it, when it comes to blocking blitzing linebackers or safeties or whoever comes at him. He's not afraid of anybody. Even Benny Snell was in there making blocks. I mean, all the running backs were doing a phenomenal job, and that makes me really excited, because when you get that, when you get a full team working together for the cause of winning a game, things happen, man, and plays just tend to happen, and you open up the door for something else to happen. When the running game's strong, the passing game can be strong. Spencer on an end around had another phenomenal run.
It's huge, 29 yards on it.
It
awesome
was just
run.
I mean, the things that our team are doing at the same time within the concept of our game and our playing style is just phenomenal right now, and I love it.
Yeah, starting to see some of these guys emerge, and it's really neat because the depth is a lot better than there's been in previous years. You just had a highlight going across your screen of Trey Griffey. He had an awesome toe drag on the sideline. Very nice catch after Dobbs had broken a couple of tackles and scooted out just like he does so well. The wide receivers overall, I thought they looked good. You know, not anything out of Moncrief yet, still. I don't know if he's still not feeling great. He hasn't had a lot of playing time yet either. I'm not in a situation where I think that he's going to be a disappointment. That's not it at all. But I do think it's going to be very difficult once the regular season hits for the Steelers to keep James Washington off the field. I don't see how you do it.
Yeah, I agree. James Washington has proven himself time and time again this preseason. And I don't see anything happening in the fourth game that could really change their mind on that. I'm trying to think of anything that could happen that they'd, you know, not want to start him, but I can't.
No, I think this is going to be kind of a similar situation to the year that Antonio Brown emerged. Hines Ward was nearing the end of his career, ended up getting benched in favor of Antonio Brown because you just couldn't keep him on the sideline. He's too explosive, too talented. I won't be surprised if halfway through the season you start seeing Washington steal a lot of reps away from Moncrief in a similar fashion. Switching over to the defense, the starting unit was the same as normal on the defensive line with Hayward, Hargrave, Tuitt. Your reserves that came in first were Tyson Alualu, and then, of course, Isaiah Bugs. Yeah, Dan McCullough is getting a lot of play in the middle, and they did a decent job. Nothing too crazy out of any of them. I didn't see any of them getting any sacks, none of them getting knocked on their butt on a consistent basis either, so at least that was good. Henry Mondo was your next sub that came in, which you saw him in about the mid-third quarter. Greg Gilmore came in at the nose position, and Casey Sales as the other pass-rushing D-tackle. Both of those came in the fourth quarter. On the linebacker rotation, Dupree and Watt started, with Dupree actually coming out with a finger injury, but he says, no big deal, he'll be there for week one.
I like hearing that.
Yeah, me too.
There's not much I have to say other than I believe him.
So that actually led to an awesome opportunity for Sutton Smith. He got in the game early due to that and played a lot. No big splash plays from him. He just, I'll be honest, he looks small out there, man. It sucks. I feel like he's one of those guys that's going to need at least 2 years in the weight room to get to the appropriate size. Just being 233 as an outside linebacker, it's just small, man. If he could switch to middle linebacker, that's actually not an awful size for a middle linebacker. But trying to go up against 320, 330, 340-pound offensive linemen, man, that's rough when you're giving up 100 pounds.
Yeah, I don't know much to say other than put him in the weight room for a year or two, let him get big, and then see what he can do.
Yeah, I hope he can stick around, you know, stash him on the practice squad. He didn't do anything this preseason to really make any big splashes, to make anybody want to steal him off the team. So I think they should have no problem stashing him on the practice squad for a year or two. And let's see what he can do. I mean, the kid did 25 reps at the combine, so he's clearly a weight room junkie. If he keeps that up, he can definitely pack some more muscle on his frame. Middle linebackers, you saw the rotation of Vince Williams, Mark Barron, and Devin Bush. And it depended on the situation. Vince only logged snaps in the base 3-4. When it was dime, it was only Bush. And in nickel, you had Bush and Vince. And then they alternated, Bush and Barron in the nickel. They kind of alternated Bush and Barron in the base defense with Vince. So it looks like kind of a little bit of a rotation going on there. I like it. It keeps them all fresh. Bush was flying all over the place, making plenty of tackles, just like he has been. It's encouraging, and you keep on seeing Ulysses Gilbert III coming in earlier and earlier in the games. Man, this kid is flying to the ball. He's making tackles everywhere. He's an exciting young player. The prospect of him maybe even working his way onto the starting unit next to Bush in a few years, because Vince and Barron are both 29 now. They don't have a lot of years in front of them. You could end up with two really explosive middle linebackers in the future.
I don't even know what to say because I'm so excited. Like, my excitement is through the roof, and I don't know what to do about it because we have so many young linebackers right now that are so talented and so powerful and so quick. Tuzar Skipper's been showing up and playing great.
Yeah, he had another sack.
Yep, Ulysses Gilbert III, like you said, is doing work. And then you got Bush and Barron being the veteran and Vince a veteran coming in there. That's five, and I'm not including Watt and Dupree. Our linebacker core is just so deep right now, and we haven't had that in years.
Yeah, basically since the Shazier injury, we've all been trying to figure out who the heck's going to play middle linebacker. This year, I think there's six of them that are high enough quality to play because Robert Spillane has looked excellent in these preseason games. I mean, there's no way they keep six middle linebackers. Even five's a stretch most years. But it's really, really encouraging to see this depth in these younger guys playing so well. Hopefully they can keep them around long enough to fill in those shoes later on. Yeah, Skipper, though, to what you said, he had a strip sack.
It was a nice strip sack.
This dude just has a knack for rushing the passer and also a knack for getting that ball out.
I mean, he beat his defender and got way around and was able to get down on the ground and come back up and swipe the ball before the quarterback could throw the ball. It was a phenomenal play. I would like to watch it again. I think I might.
Hit that rewind. So while we're watching the joys of Tuzar Skipper once again, we'll talk secondary a little bit. Your starting secondary, we had Steven Nelson. Mike Hilton was in the slot. Edmonds and Davis at safety and Artie Burns at the other outside corner position. Nothing ridiculous. I did see an awesome hit from Terrell Edmonds very early in the game. Separated the ball from the man. You love to see it. You'll talk about it all year long. There's a huge focus on forcing fumbles. This was a pass breakup, but it's exactly what you're looking for. If you can't get there early enough to break the ball up or pick it off, hit him. Hit him and get that ball out. That's exactly what he did. Wasn't very long before you saw Cam Sutton come in the nickel corner position. And they're also running like a big nickel or dime package with Cameron Kelly. He had another forced fumble in this game. Our defensive backs are forcing some fumbles. Later on in the game, you had Marcus Allen force a fumble.
I'll take it. If safeties are coming up and hitting guys, I will never complain. As long as they're hitting the correct guys and they're stopping the ball.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm thinking back to like the Minnesota Vikings
game.
Yeah,
was that with Sean Davis and Joe Hayden? That was the worst. That was the worst.
So bad.
So the safety rotation got switched up a little bit in this game. So Cam Kelly obviously was in there with Davis and Edmonds and then was the next guy in there when it was just two safeties. But you saw Marcus Allen come in. So he played with Cam Kelly for a while. Looked good. Making hits, making plays. It really threw me for a loop because the first game you really didn't see Marcus Allen at all. The second game you didn't see him until late, but he played well. Third game they had him come in. In the second half, at the very beginning of the second half, he played a lot, played well again. And Jordan Dangerfield didn't come in until late into the game. Makes you wonder if they're leaning a little more towards Marcus Allen, almost like what Mike Tomlin said right after the draft when he said he had big plans for him this year. So that was pretty neat to see. Your backup corners, Justin Lane, Cam Sutton went to the outside. And you had a real nice pass breakup by Justin Lane. It looked very similar to what we saw with Terrell Edmonds. Hit the guy right after the ball got there, forced an incomplete pass. Awesome job.
Yeah, I don't know if they were in zone in that play or not, but Justin Lane went back with the defender and then realized the ball was being thrown to a man crossing over the middle and just came up and walloped him. And he dropped the ball, and that's a good incompletion on a first and 10 that makes it a nice second and long, and that's the kind of stuff we need out of our defensive backs.
Yeah, you put them in that third and long position, now you can get that defensive line and linebackers to just tee off on them, and that's where you win.
Yeah. Going on to what do you want to talk about next?
Cody, I want to get to our 53.
I figured you did. I could tell. I could see it twinkle in your eye.
It is. It's twinkling.
Well, you after you, my friend.
Okay, so let's go position by position. Okay, I'll say like what that. I've got. You tell me what you've got, and we'll see what's going on. My quarterbacks are going to be pretty vanilla here. I think Ben Mason Dobbs. I think it's going to be very difficult for Dobbs to show enough for them to get a good enough return value. I don't see any point in trading him away unless you can get at least a fourth or fifth round pick, and I think that's going to be real tough to do. With him not having excellent passing performances the first few preseason games. He doesn't have much on his resume either in the regular season up to this point. So I think we'll see those three, and I hope that they can keep Podges around for the practice squad. How'd you get yours?
I only have us keeping two quarterbacks.
There's
at least two. I have us keeping Ben, obviously, and I have us keeping Mason. I really think that Mason Rudolph's proved himself as the number two guy. I did switch that up from before. I had Dobbs making the team last time. I just honestly think that it's just too much to pass up. That we're going to get something for Dobbs from the Colts, and it's going to be worth it. And then we'll keep Devlin Hodges on the practice squad, and I'm excited for that. So I don't know. What do you have for running backs?
Running backs is going to be Manella. I did not change anything from last time. We've got Connor, Samuel, Snow, with, of course, Rosie Nix at fullback. They're definitely taking a long look at Trey Edmonds. They're definitely taking a long look at Malik Williams. I wasn't brave enough to put either one of them on my 53.
Well, I can't argue there because I wasn't either. I have Connor, Samuels, Snell, just like last time for me as well.
Wide receivers, how about you go first on this one?
All right, so I got Juju, Dante Moncrief, James Washington, of course, our boy, Deontay Johnson, the rookie making the team, Ryan Switzer, and then I did change up my sixth guy. I'm still very big on Johnny Holton. However, I don't think he's had enough to make the team. I have a feeling that we're going to keep Deontay Spencer. He's been explosive. He's been a highlight reel, I would say, for this entire preseason so far. And I think that's the spark that our wide receiver core needs in case of injury or just on the return game.
Very bold prediction there, Cody. I'm going to show you what I've got here, and we'll see what you think about this. So I got Juju making the team. Big surprise. Moncrief, of course, James Washington, Deontay Johnson, the rookie. And then Eli Rogers is my five.
Ooh.
I think that Ryan Switzer's time in Pittsburgh is over, and he seems like an excellent young man. He was a really dependable target for Ben last year. He just doesn't look like he has any explosiveness to him, and he's a crutch in the kick game. They put him back there because he will not fumble, and they know he won't fumble, and they know he'll field it clean. And that's not enough. I want more, which is why my sixth player on the wide receiver was also Deontay Spencer.
Let's go.
He has just been awesome to watch in the return game this preseason. And when he gets involved with these screen plays and end arounds, mm-hmm. and he doesn't leave any juke moves in the bag. That's for sure. He uses them all and makes people miss. Very fun to watch that young man. Tight ends. I'll go first on this one. Got Vance McDonald, of course, Xavier Grimble, and then my third tight end, exactly the same as my first prediction. He's not on the team yet. I feel very strongly that they're going to make a trade before that final cut down for someone else's tight end. I don't think Gentry showed enough. I think put him on the practice squad this year. I really wanted it to be Christian Scotland-Williamson, and it still could be if he has a strong fourth preseason game. It'll have to be a real strong one because he missed the last two, barely got to play in the first one. I have no idea if he's healthy enough. I put a tweet out to him. I never heard back from him. Boo.
Sadness and despair.
Yeah. I'd love to have him, but right now he's just not on the team.
Nope. I have the same thing. I don't think he's going to be on the team as far as that's concerned, but I have Vance, Xavier Grimble. I do have Zach Gentry making the team just because he's able to catch the ball. We've seen it. I think even if you need him to come in and just catch the ball and maybe just block somebody for a second and break out on a pass, I think he can do that well enough that they'll find confidence in that. And then I have Cameron Kanaday making it, but that's more as a long snapper. He just also plays tight end. He's technically a tight end, even though he's technically a long snapper. That's a sticky situation. But those are the guys I have making the team. I would love to see Christian Scotland-Williamson hop in there and take Gentry's spot. No offense to Gentry. I just, you know, our hype about CSW, so I would love to see that.
I really think that Gentry has the potential to be good. It's tough right now because you're looking for more than what they've seen. This last game, game three of the preseason, he had one completed pass to the tight ends. Gentry was the only one with a catch. It's a struggle. You're used to having good quality tight ends in Pittsburgh. We're not seeing that play on the field right now. So if they don't figure it out, I think a lot of four wide receiver sets are coming our future this year. Offensive line, I have, of course, the starting five, Villanueva, Foster, Pouncey, DeCastro, Filer. B.J. Finney, I think, is as much of a lock as those starters are. Okorafor and Banner, and that's it. I stopped it at eight.
Ooh, you stopped it at eight. Okay, that is the first surprise that you had for me. I will say I have exactly the same there, but I have Patrick Morris – making the team, as well as Fred Johnson. I feel like they've both shown a lot of hustle and a lot of grit this preseason that I think they're going to be on the team just for security reasons. I know that we've had a tough time keeping some offensive linemen healthy in the past. Not so much recently, but just past years, I think we keep a backup for every position.
Yeah, yeah. And those would be probably the next two guys I would try to put on the practice squad. If I could keep 54, Fred Johnson would be on it. But I had to make room in another position on the defense.
Oh, I can only imagine.
You'll understand when we get there.
I think I know what it is, and it's making me upset.
And you won't be once they tell me.
Oh, I know. That's what's making me upset. It's because I'm going to agree with it, but I'm going to be mad about it.
You want to go first on D-line?
I'll go first on D-line. So, obviously, we got the starters, Stephon Tuitt, Javon Hargrave, and Cameron Hayward. You can't argue those guys. I have Tyson Alualu on the team, as well as Daniel McCullers and Isaiah Bugs. I kept that mostly the same from last time, if not exactly the same. I'm pretty sure it's actually exactly the same. I just like those guys. I think Bugs, although he wasn't in a lot, I think we keep him on the team to get him that experience. He played at a big school. I think he's going to come on and be a solid backup. If some guys get tired and need a rest for a play, I think he's going to come in and do the job.
I'm with you on that. I think the seventh guy, if there were going to be a seventh guy, is Henry Mondo. I think he'll be on the practice squad as well. But I have the same exact six. I'm real big on Bugs. I like the way he looks. He's got great hustle. He's got good hand usage and pass rush. And I think, more importantly, you're in a real sticky situation contract-wise. Hargrave's contract is up after this year. I believe Tyson Alualu's contract is up also. Alualu's on the wrong side of 30, so I don't think they'll bring him back, especially if they see enough from Bugs. Bugs slides in as your top backup defensive end / defensive tackle in your pass rushing situations, and I like the future with him in it. Outside linebackers, I lumped them all in, right and left, together. I have, of course, TJ Watt, Bud Dupree, Ola Adeniyi, and Anthony Ciccolo. Now, here's the thing.
This is what I knew was coming.
I had to keep a fifth outside linebacker because Ola's not going to be ready week one. We don't know what's going on with Ciccolo. He's got a chest injury and missed that third preseason game. I kept Tuzar Skipper, man. I love the way he looks on the field so far. Where are you looking as far as your outside linebackers?
I got TJ Watt, Ciccolo, Bud Dupree, Ola Adeniyi. If I would have kept a fifth, it would have been Tuzar. But I didn't because I kept us a little bit more flexible in the middle and middle linebacker that we can discuss in a minute. But I agree. Tuzar has shown up. Tuzar has done an amazing job. And I'm excited to see what he does, hopefully, for the Steelers in the future as a rookie coming in. So
you want to go first on middle linebackers?
I'm going to go first because right. I'm sure I have more than you. I have Vince Williams, obviously. Devin Bush, the rookie, obviously, again. Mark Barron, the free agent acquisition we made. And then I have Tyler Matakevich, the solid play that we get from him on special teams is just phenomenal. And then I have Ulysses Gilbert III making the team.
That's an excellent five. And if you remember correctly, I only had eight offensive linemen, which afforded me the possibility to do something Pittsburgh doesn't do very often, but they have done in the past, which is keep 10 linebackers. For once, I think there is the talent on the back end of it in the future, and you really have to look to it. What are we going to do in the next couple years here? So Bud Dupree's contract's up. Vince and Barron will both be 30 next year. Matakevich getting near the end of his rookie deal. A lot of these contracts are starting to expire on him, and you need some young guys to fill in, and they've shown they can do it in this preseason. You saw a lot of promise out of Ulysses Gilbert III. A lot out of Tuzar Skipper. I could not stomach the thought of cutting either one. They're making the team in my book, Cody.
Well, I can't say I don't agree with you because I clearly do. So I'm excited to see those linebackers and what they're going to do this year. So super pumped. You want to start with corners?
Yeah, corners. Of course, Joe Hayden's making the team. Steve Nelson, Mike Hilton, Cameron Sutton, who I think might take some reps away from Mike Hilton before the season's over. Justin Lane, there's no way you cut him. He's a third-round pick. And Artie Burns is back in the mix now that Brian Allen is out. I'm hoping Brian Allen reverts back to the injured reserve since he was waived injured. And then maybe he'll have a shot next year. Because, again, contract situations. Joe Hayden's contract's up after this year. Artie Burns is up after this year.
Mike Hilton's
on a one-year deal.
Yep.
We're going to need corners next year. So I hope they can get Brian Allen on IR so that he can be back and available for next year.
I agree. You had six corners. I'm only taking five because I freed up some space for another position. It's not a kicker. Nice. Don't worry. I had Joe Hayden, Steve Nelson, obviously. Mike Hilton, Justin Lane, the rookie, obviously. And then I had Artie Burns. At the beginning, I was definitely against him. But he got a little fire in his butt. I think he's been in the comfort zone of knowing that he was a first-round pick, and I just don't think he has felt the need to play better up until this preseason, and he's come out and he's played better. I'd be foolish to say anything less.
Why the hate on Cam Sutton, though, man? I don't get it.
Listen, I love Cam Sutton. I wouldn't be shocked if your prediction is right and he makes the team. I just think that with the way our DBs have been in the past, we're going to go a little different direction here, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got you on that. So safeties, I'm pretty vanilla on this one again. Terrell Edmonds, Sean Davis, Cam Kelly. I was very tempted before that third preseason game to put Jordan Dangerfield on that 53-man roster. I left him off because Marcus Allen jumped him in the roster, and he keeps on making people fumble the ball. I love it. I want Marcus Allen in there, and those are my four safeties.
I can't argue there. I have Sean Davis, Terrell Edmonds, Cameron Kelly, Marcus Allen as well. This is where I made a little space. I know that sometimes we like to do things with our safeties and maybe injuries, whatever. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I liked what I saw from PJ Locke. It wasn't a lot, but I liked it.
It's a human missile out there.
He is, and I think he makes the team. This is definitely, I would say, my stretch. This is where I stretch this year. With the 53-man roster prediction, I think your Cameron Sutton is definitely a safer pick. But I'm thinking we keep PJ Locke.
I like what I've seen from him. I know he hasn't played as much as we've hoped he will. I bet he gets a lot of playing time in this last game. Kicker and punter, I'm Boswell and Barry. How about you?
I'm the BB as well, Boswell, Barry.
I don't see anything different happening. Even if Bos misses a couple kicks in his fourth game, I don't think that they keep Matthew Wright over him. So I think that's pretty cut and dry. Would love to thank you guys again for all the continued support.
Absolutely.
All the likes on social media. Our Facebook account is almost to 100 likes. I'm pretty stoked about that. And we crossed 500 downloads now of our podcast.
We did. I'm enjoying this very much. We just appreciate it so much, guys. We do this for fun. We do this because we enjoy it. And we want to make sure that you guys are up to date. If you guys actually enjoy our podcast, please give us a like or a share or a comment or even send us an email at SteelersByTheLake.
We do accept five-star reviews.
We do accept five-star reviews. We'd love five stars. If you can make it six, figure it out. That'd be great. I mean, we like three stars, too, if you think about the Steelers logo. But we'd prefer more stars. Let's
okay,
be real.
I see where you're going.
You saw where I was going. It took you a second. But no, nervous. Honestly, we just love this so much. We're Steeler fans for life, baby. Let's go get a seventh ring. Come on.
Hell yeah. Here we go.
Daryl Drake, Rooney, these ones are for you. So thank you guys for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Steelers by the Lake. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.